Galatians 2:9, if you read that for me.
Sure.
Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia, which was removed from grace.
Yep.
And they were experiencing what they might have called success, but not according to what he was saying.
Yep, Galatians 2:9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
That's what I call a message. We'll get to the subject, but the message on triple grace.
Mm.
Grace to me personally,
mm-hmm.
grace for my relationship, mm-hmm. and grace for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Triple grace. That's success.
Mm.
In other words, think about how Jesus Christ would view success.
Mm-hmm.
He would view success by seeing his life being magnified in me.
Yes.
Personal life. Number two, that relationships that would be absolutely centered on who he is and what he's done. And that is in the body of Christ, that we would be a part of the body and attached to the head. And that number three, we would have gospel feet.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those are really the three keys that Paul is expressing here about spiritual success.
Mm-hmm.
All of it beginning at the cross, which doesn't look like anybody would choose that and say, I want a successful life. I think I'll be crucified. You know,
yeah.
that's not going to be the norm of most people. But you think about it, you know, Paul says it, I am crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So for the Christian, all the way from Genesis chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
the skins of a lamb and the blood shed,
yes.
all the way to Revelation, the end of the book, spiritual success would be defined as the person of God doing the work of God. And that would be spiritual success. So Jesus Christ was the most successful God-man because he was the only person that was God and man
mm-hmm.
That there's ever been. And so we would determine what spiritual success is by looking at his life.
Mm.
Looking at his life. I mean, how about this? You mean being rejected is spiritual success? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Being rejected, suffering, being abused, being misunderstood, being tried as a criminal. Well, that was, in spiritual thinking, success.
Mm-hmm.
But what the world thinks of success now is so different. A lot of Christians even think this. Success is having a big church. Success is having a lot of money. Success is having God answer your prayers. Success is, you know, all these different things. And some of them are in God and they're okay and they're good.
Right.
But in reality, is that spiritual success? What is spiritual success? If you were to go to places in China, maybe India and Africa, and you would ask some of those believers what spiritual success is,
mm-hmm.
they might have a completely different answer as they're hiding in a cave doing their church service, as they're on the run, as their family loses their job,
mm-hmm.
as their children are told that they cannot attend educational institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That might be, to some people, oh my God, that's horrifying. Well, that might be to God spiritual success because they're walking with God.
Sure.
They're walking with God. The disciples, were they having Jesus didn't say, let's have a successful fishing business. I mean, he met them in Luke 5, and by the way, gave them miraculous catches in Luke 5 and John 21. They said, wow, we're fishermen. This is what we do for our life. This is our living. Wow, and he's going to just keep giving us fish. No, he's going to say, here's spiritual success. I'm going to take you from being fishers of fish to fishers of men. That's spiritual success.
That's a great point that they had Peter had a successful life, and it wasn't spiritually successful. Then he lost his spiritually successful life, and all of a sudden he found success. If you're listening to us today, by the way, we'd love for you to join us. Join in with us. You can call in at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. You can email us at questions@gracehour.org. You can also watch us at gracehour.org. We're also on Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, and many others. We'd love to hear from you this Friday to hear about spiritual success. Maybe in your mind you've got some ideas about what spiritual success is, and it's not what you thought it was. But that's a great point. God, Jesus
spiritual
Christ,
success.
He found disciples that had a successful life. Peter had a successful life. James and John had a successful business, and it wasn't successful in life. I guess the question is, who's measuring the success?
God, right? Or man?
Yeah.
I read a story the other day about a man named Wolf Keys, and Richard Wurmbrand was preaching, and he noticed this man weeping, because mm-hmm. Richard Wurmbrand was telling a story about his own conversion. He noticed the man weeping, and Wurmbrand was talking about the man who led him to Christ. And so he went to the man who was weeping. He said, like, what is it in my message that touched you so much? He goes, well, the fact is that the man that led you to Christ, I led to Christ.
Wow.
And he was the only one I ever led to Christ in my life. But I see I am the grandfather of many children, you know. So maybe for that one person who thought his life was in vain, his life had no purpose, there was no success in his life, mm-hmm. he led the man that led Wurmbrand to Christ, and Wurmbrand led thousands and wrote books and made a big impact in life. So how do we measure success? If we look at television, entertainment, radio, the secular world, the educational world, we take a look at the world as we know it to be. They define success a certain way.
Yes.
And if Christianity falls into that pattern, then they begin to have the initiations of what is a worldly success, usually fueled by demons.
Okay.
And to make people think that that's what a successful Christianity is. We have a large building. We have a large church. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Because we happen to understand that very well. But success is based upon the life of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's life, and really the Word of God. This is success versus what people think being successful is. If you saw a man hanging on a cross, would you think this was a successful adventure or a successful decision or a successful life? You'd say, wait a minute, he's up there like a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a cross. And like, so everything that he did and said, for some people, they thought it was all in vain. Mm-hmm. What happened? We thought it would have been him who would restore the kingdom of God. That's Acts chapter 1.
Yes.
We're thinking he's going to restore the kingdom. See, they were looking for, you know, can I have the seats? What did they say, James and John?
Uh-huh.
Their mother. They got to send their mother to do it, right?
Always,
you know,
mom.
Send mom to do it. Ask him if we can have the seats to his right and his left. That was actually, what they were actually saying is, we like the Holy Spirit and the Father to move, because we want James and John to have seats on either side of him.
You know?
So they determine spiritual success as a position or a seat in heaven. And he says, you don't even know what you're asking.
Yeah.
Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'll be baptized with? And they said, we can. He said, and you will, but the seats are not for you.
Mm.
You just got faced, okay? You were looking for the seats, yeah. And you got something else instead. You know. So what is success today?
It's results, really. I mean, yeah. The world defines success as results, but Christ defines success as relationship.
Yes.
And in that relationship, there's a word you mentioned earlier that resounds in that relationship, and it's obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stevens once gave a definition for success, and I never forgot it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the B part of the verse. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and chapter 16, and chapter 17, John speaks about the world and loving not the world. But at the end of 17, he says, but he that does the will of God will abide forever.
Mm-hmm.
He said that was spiritual success.
That's success.
Find the will of God.
Imagine when the church is infiltrated by thinking patterns that are contrary to the thoughts of God, and then they begin to entertain that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they build a foundation on that, and then they determine, and it can be for decades or even centuries,
wow,
what success is. And, you know, you can see that there has not been a lot of missionary emphasis,
mm-hmm,
since maybe 100 years ago or 150 years ago, because I think what people think nowadays is that's not that important. They don't determine in their own mind that that's success.
Yes.
Planting churches or going to foreign countries or meeting people that believe in their idolaters,
mm-hmm,
and they believe in false pagan gods, and you don't want to get involved with that, you know.
Sure.
So they would say that, you know, a missionary, like, come on, do something where you can be a success.
Results, right?
Yeah, results.
I need results. And we're in a results-driven society,
mm-hmm,
and that infiltrates the church. And under the, mm-hmm, guise of fruit, we start hunting results.
Yeah.
We start measuring by results. We start evaluating by results. And there's nothing wrong with counting and numbering and knowing what you have and having desires and objectives and goals and wanting the best of God and to be content but not satisfied. There's nothing wrong with that. But I have to be careful when the results of my life drive my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what they must have thought when he said, "Follow me." You know, you get out of the boat, leave your father in the boat, James and John, and let's go. I mean, how many people today, if you ever did that, how many parents, how many people in the family would consider you an absolute fanatic? You know,
just
to follow God and say, this is what I'm doing. You can see that with men like Judson and men like David Livingstone and people that did that in many places around the world. I was thinking of Chet Bitterman because I've just come from South America, Latin America, just different people that made decisions, which the world, even their own families and their own friends, some of their best friends thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, don't you want to be successful in life? What do you think success is? Going over there and seeing a pagan get converted to Christianity? Oh, how about this one? I got a great verse for you on this subject. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose a soul?
Yeah.
In other words, success is gaining the whole world. Mm. I want to be a success. I want to have, you know, all these big shots in the world today with all of their influence and all of their money. And this one's a billionaire. And I don't know. I see some names on the news sometimes. I don't even know who they are. But you see these names of these big men that are billionaires. And they seem to be what people think is successful. And you know what? You really wonder deep down in their life what they're really like. I wonder if there's any peace in their life, any joy in their life, any contentment in their life. See, success with being someone who can enjoy the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, the fruit of the Spirit. Success. Anybody out there?
But that's not really visual. You know, I think that's the thing, Pastor Belli. This is this question. If you could define in a brief sentence what success is, what would you say?
Jesus. Jesus
brief,
Christ.
That's as brief as you can
same
get.
Same yesterday, today, and forever. That's success. I mean, my walk with God.
Okay.
This is my walk with God. You know, I want to please God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. I did not confer with flesh and blood. And so really, success is my relationship to God himself.
Okay.
This is key. My relationship to Jesus Christ, my relationship to the church, and my relationship to the gospel. That's Galatians 2:9.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship to Jesus Christ, my relationship to the body of Christ, the church, and my relationship to the gospel. Those three things, I think, really define success and really key. So what gets in the way of my relationship to Jesus Christ? Me, self, I. Well, crucified. What gets in my way to relationships in the body of Christ? Old friends and the world system. What gets in my way, and based upon my relationship to the gospel, just having a passive attitude about the gospel penetrating the whole world and changing people's lives. So I've got to leap over those walls.
Yeah,
those walls will be put there to hinder. But David said, "I'm going to leap over a wall," and that's key. Leaping over walls, you know.
But there's a bit of thing that creeps into our walk with God, where we begin to start to look for evidences of walking in the will of God, proofs that we're serving God, confirmation that this is God for us. So we start numbering. We start looking at things. We start saying, well, you know, we led this many people to Christ. We have this many people in the church. You know, we start numbering.
Yeah.
And it results gets into my definition of success, right?
And maybe like, here's success. Barnabas goes to Tarsus and brings Paul to Antioch. He brings one man who can change the course of the Christian life at that particular time. So evaluating success based upon God himself, my relationship to God, and who knows what that means. It might mean, wow, I decided to follow God and I lost my business.
Hmm.
I decided to follow God and I lost my friends. I decided to follow God and I lost my health.
Wow.
I decided to follow God and I lost this or lost that. And people might look at it from the outside and view it externally, but that person might be an amazing success with God. It may be they are an amazing success with God, but the world looks at it in disdain.
Sure.
Doesn't even like it, you know?
Well, it's visual, like you say. Yeah. You look at your success has got to be faith oriented, because if it's visual, then it's I see it the way you. That's a great word you said. Evaluating success, my success, a church's success, a marriage's success, a missionary's success on God Himself.
On God Himself,
and that's a lot of time to get our eyes off of God, and there's a different measuring stick. We start evaluating based on other people. We start evaluating on our history, on our past, on what other people that we respect are doing. It's very easy to get lost with that.
Think about like, oh, Peter didn't have a very successful marriage. He left his wife to follow Jesus. And yet they were both crucified together in Rome later on.
Wow.
So, you know, how you would evaluate what's a successful marriage?
Wow.
What's a successful family? What's a successful life? You know, really, that is the key. And when you line it up with how God thinks, and He thinks a soul is more important than anything the world could give you, then that is me looking at God Himself and His thoughts, and allowing His thoughts to become my thoughts and His ways to become my ways, and then going forward with that. That's success.
Excellent.
And it's amazing how much of Christianity doesn't really understand what success is.
Yeah.
And they think success is, you know, whatever. I mean, there were people that could care less about a person's status in their soul, whether they were saved or lost, but they just wanted to feed the hungry. And I'm all for feeding the hungry.
Sure.
But they could care less about feeding the soul and bringing them to Christ. And so they thought success was feeding the hungry, when Jesus might say success is preaching the gospel and seeing souls get converted and feeding the hungry too.
Yes. Yes.
We got a call or something?
Yep. We'd love to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-338-7060 or call us locally at 410-483-3700. Again, reach out to us on email as well. We've got a caller on line one. Brian, you're on the Grace Hour.
Who's on?
Brian?
Brian, hi. How are you?
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. I was thinking of obeying God by when Christ said, take up your cross daily and then follow Christ.
Yes.
That was my thought.
Taking up your cross daily. And Brian, one of the traps with that is that if we're not careful, taking up our cross becomes a works program where we feel we have to go out and pick up something and perform a work in order to honor God, instead of walking in the work that Christ has already done on the cross for our behalf.
That's exactly the problem I see with some certain denominations. They always talk about, take up the cross, take up the cross, take up the cross, take up the cross. And the word is ero, and it means lift up what Christ has done.
Beautiful.
Hello? Lift up the person of Christ and the work of the cross. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Not you got to drag a cross through the city. You know, and this big wooden thing and whatnot, and or you know, I got this sacrifice or that sacrifice. No, it's really lifting up who God is and what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, all these other things are small compared to that.
Hey, Brian, may I ask you a question? You know, when you think about success, what comes to your mind? Brian, are you there? Okay, we lost you, Brian. All right. Just a thought. I was thinking about what you said about picking up your cross. And for many believers, that's a goal. That's a goal, and it's not a bad goal. But again, it's not so much the goal, but the approach to the goal. Like he just said, lifting up Christ instead of trying to do a work for Christ. Because that's not success. What that is employment.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about like Judson in Burma, and he lost his first wife, got married later, lost his second wife, lost, I think, two or three of his children on the mission field. And yet, the Bible that the Burmese people use today is the Bible that he translated. They had no language. He had to make the language. Then he had to translate the Bible into that language. So he had to watch their mouth, the words they spoke. He made a language. And then he translated the Bible. And that Bible is the only Bible in use today. I think it might be, maybe something's changed since I've made that statement or so. But it's interesting. What would you call success? It looks like, you know, he didn't have many converts. And when they buried him, they put him in a casket, and they put heavy weights and they dropped him in the ocean because the government said his body has so many diseases, they were afraid to bury it in the country. Something might happen. You can look at that and say, what a tragedy. And God can say, what a success, you know? what a success this his life was, you know? Yeah. So it's divine viewpoint versus human viewpoint.
That's it.
That's really important. How does God see it versus how we see it? And you could look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Hey, like, by the way, look at success, okay?
Okay.
At the end of his life, he's in jail. And he says this in 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 19 and 20. No man stood at my first defense. No man stood with me.
Yeah.
Wow. All alone. Wow. If you were successful, you'd have hundreds of people following you. You wouldn't be in jail. You'd be doing great. No man stood with me. Mm-hmm. Jesus on the cross. No man. My God, why have you forsaken me? Mm. He's talking about being forsaken, you know? Yeah. And then you look at the end of Peter's life, and you look at the end of many of the disciples' lives, and you could say, didn't turn out so well.
No.
Well, it depends upon how you make your evaluation. Divine viewpoint or human viewpoint? Human viewpoint would say tragedy, horrible, wouldn't want that to be me in my life, wouldn't want my children to go through that. And by the way, how many parents do so much for their children based upon how they define success? You know, going to give you all kinds of money so you can go to the best school. And do they define success a certain way, and they promote it, and they send their children off into an arena, which they call the arena of success, and they end up getting eaten by a lion.
Well, I think sometimes parents, you want the best for your kids.
Yes, of course.
You want to create the best atmosphere, the best, and you want to give them the best push in life. But I like what you said. The greatest gift I can teach my kid is divine perspective, yes. Divine viewpoint. Because then if they have God's mind about whatever they do, whatever they pursue, which goes back to the 1 John 2:17, if they find the will of God, they abide forever. If they find God's will, teach the child in the way that they should go, right? And yes. They being God's will.
What is the will of God? Wow, look at these young men in Babylon. They're amazing. Wow, they have such intelligence, and they're so incredible. And look what God defines success as. God defines success as them following him, not the Babylonian system, not the world system, led by Daniel. Mm-hmm. You know what? And that means, oh, here's success for Daniel, lion's den. Here's success for the three Hebrew boys, fiery furnace. Mm. Here's success in Daniel chapter 10. When he was overwhelmed by satanic darkness, mm-hmm. You know, and yet he came through by walking with God. So walking with God, that's success. Having an eternal viewpoint versus a temporal viewpoint, that's success. Winning souls, he that winneth souls is wise. A wise man is successful. The gospel, success. Church, success. Personal walk with God, success.
Would you say, in this season, it's Christmas, and much success is measured by what we give, what we receive, things that we do. Would you say success in the incarnation of Christ? It doesn't look very successful. He's adding humanity to divinity, which is actually a step down, really. He's adding frailty to perfection. Is going into a situation where he's not favored. He's not dwelling above us. He's dwelling among us. It doesn't look very successful, which is why a lot of the world likes to color away the incarnation of this season, because it doesn't look very successful, actually.
Well, I mean, think about it. What did the wise men think was successful? To go see, follow the star, and find him, you know? Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, if the enemy can remove the key component of Christmas, which is the person of Christ being born, God becoming a man, then he now gets people to equate success with all these other things that are involved with the holiday. Is the holiday a holy day? There's a question. Is the holiday a holy day, or is it just a holiday?
Well, we're the country that invented Xmas. So I had to tell
you, ex-Christ right out of Christmas.
We created that, actually.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And what is success? And by the way, many people, and I'm not so sure about exactly right now, but many people around the world, they are just thinking that success is getting to America. They're coming over the borders. They're coming from every direction. I meet them. I just came from Latin America, you know, and I meet people. They say, well, I really wish one day I could get to be able to come to America and live there, you know?
Success.
And whatnot. And I understand some aspects of that because of poverty and difficulties and types of governments where they are. But you don't equate success with making a geographical move. I mean, when I decided in 1986, the decision was 85, that I was going to, like, you know, take a step towards Africa with my wife and family. You can't believe what I had to come up against, even from Christians.
It didn't look successful.
It didn't look successful. Are you kidding me? You are, here you are in a church, and you are a leader in the church. You're overseeing a Christian school. You have a counseling center for addictions, okay, along with a number of other things I was doing, overseeing the Bible school. And what are you going to do? You're going to drop it and go plant yourself in West Africa? I mean, like, come on, come on. Like, who's going to educate your kids? I said, God. God will educate my children.
That's not
and
a
my wife homeschooled
answer.
Them, and that was amazing. She homeschooled them for 6 years, you know.
Yeah,
and it's the way it is. You know, well, where are they going to go after that, you know, after being homeschooled? They can go anywhere and do anything because Jesus Christ is in their life.
That's it.
Success. Wow. What? And so determining success, and at that time, success wasn't going to Africa. That was more along the lines of insane. For many people, that was an insane move. Just like people have made a life in China or Asia, like the Plunkets and their family and their kids and whatnot, and people like yourself going overseas and whatnot, and determining success based upon the viewpoint, mindset, and the life of Christ.
That's beautiful. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you this Friday. 1-800-338-7060 and also at 410-483-3700. You can also email to us questions at gracehour.org. We're also live on YouTube and Facebook and Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeart, Audible, and Stitcher.
My goodness, you got them all down.
You can reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
What about comments there?
This is a great, great topic. Success, because if I don't have Christ's mind, I'll let another mind define success for me. And the life I think that I have that's of God may be good, but it might not be spiritually successful. It's very possible.
It might be good. There's the danger part. See, there's two sides to the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay.
And many people will stay on the good side and think that's God. It's not. In other words, I'm gonna be a good citizen. I'm going to be a good businessman. I'm going to be a good husband without God.
Okay.
See, and that tree. That's why John the Baptist made a phenomenal statement. He's talking to religious people who are doing good.
Yes.
He said, I'm taking an axe to the root of your tree. I'm going to cut your tree out. You know what? I'm not going to trim your branches. I'm going for your roots. And that's what he said, because he realized that maybe they were doing good things, some of them, but they weren't doing the things that were sourced in God. And that's the difference.
Let me come back to that point about, because there are many Christians that will hear the program today and they'll say, so you're saying to me that I shouldn't have a nice job. I shouldn't have a good bank account. I shouldn't be the best that I could be at what I do. I shouldn't achieve. I shouldn't try to improve my life. I shouldn't try to do these things. In other words, it's not successful unless it's poor or risky.
No. I would say this, it's not successful unless it's sourced in Christ.
Beautiful.
In other words, like, nothing wrong with any of those things, having a good family, a good job, a good place to live. But are they sourced in Christ, or do I have to compromise my Christian life to attain those things? There's the difference, you know. In other words, I don't care. I'm in the business world, and I'm going to operate just how business operates, even if it's not correct, because this is the way it's done, and I want to have this and that in my life. And so I'm going after certain goals in my life, but I'm reaching those goals, and I'm reaching those goals without being sourced in God himself. And there's where it falls.
What would you say are ways that I can get back to divine perspective concerning how I view my life?
Well, one way is open your Bible. That's a very good and important thing. Number two, go to church. They have a good church that preaches the word, that is involved with the eternal purpose of God.
Okay.
And get counsel from a person that is spiritually mature. So you've got the Bible, you can pray. Do you really want, God, I want to be spiritually successful? Or is it just like nice words that drop out of somebody's mouth that they forget about, like, you know, 3 hours later. So I'm going to pray and ask God to help me to understand what it means to have a walk with him and to have an eternal purpose from God. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us, not according to our own works, but according to his own grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, Timothy, you need to be in the purpose of God, the call of God, the purpose of God, which is absolutely eternal. So I've got to really hunger and thirst and go after the things that are eternal.
Right.
Eternal word, the church, the gospel,
and
praying and asking God to help me. God, show me, show me what it means to be spiritual, not just natural or carnal, but to be spiritual. And do I want that? Is that my prayer? You know, or am I very satisfied with my life? I'm just so satisfied with my life, you know, and I've learned to be satisfied in this situation, and I haven't really considered the things of God, what God says is successful.
Well, and, I mean, a lot of us are looking for comfortable. We can be honest, but looking for comfortable. Like, okay, what's success for me? I'm comfortable. My bills are paid. I can't do all the things I want to do, but I'm comfortable. You know, I go to church once, twice a week. I do a devotional in the morning. I have my routines. But is that spiritual success?
It might be spiritual success for somebody who hasn't been doing those things. But then somebody who's doing those things, maybe God wants to take them to the next level, the next step. Okay, go from reading your Bible to maybe taking a Bible college class. Go from praying for people to speaking to people about Christ.
Okay.
You know, like taking the next step, you know.
So you're saying levels.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And by the way, doing those, the basic things you talked about might be for somebody a great step in the right direction. That might be great. Wow, they're actually opening their Bible. They're actually praying, whatnot. And so those foundational truths can be something that I'm like going towards, because maybe they're not in my life. Now, if they are in my life, is that where I want to remain? Do I want to just stay in this place my whole life? Is this what it's going to be? You know, is there ever going to be any Christian growth? The last thing that Peter said was, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Do I want to grow? Because without growing, is there any success spiritually?
No.
Just stay the same.
Yeah.
I stayed the same. There's been no change in the life of a person at all. And so that's important. Some people can just stay stagnant. They're saved. They're going to go to heaven, but they're of no earthly value.
Well, this is the season, Pastor Shabelli. December and January, this is the season when we look to shake things up. We look to mix things up. We're not satisfied with what's in front of us. In one respect, we could say we're not satisfied. Another set, we could say, yeah, I am content. But this is the season when I can start challenging and questioning things and what I have and what I'm doing and ask myself, am I walking in divine perspective? Am I walking in the will of God?
I think asking the questions is a great start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are they really doing that? Am I really asking those questions? Or is a person content where they are? You know, they're just very content with what's going on in their life, and they don't see any spiritual horizon in front of them where they can make decisions to go forward. What am I going to do? I can say to myself at 75 years old, I can just lay back and live on the laurels of the past. Well, I'd rather have a bullet put through my head than do that. That's a bad analogy. What am I going to do? I mean, what am I going to do in these years? Some people think, I've retired. Nothing wrong with retiring from work, but you never retire from God.
Okay.
So to be successful is not to say, now that I'm at this age, let somebody else do this, okay?
Right.
And I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, I don't want to think that way. I want to say I can still do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I need to maybe pick and choose how and when and where I do them, per se. But that's got to be a key. But some people, they just want to sit back based upon it. And you can say, yes, I worked hard for all these years, or I even did ministry for 50 years. Okay. So what does that mean now? You're going to, for the next 10 years, you're going to sit in the rocking chair and drink lemonade?
Well, we get in these routines and they get safe for us.
Yes.
These routines, we go back and forth, the one, two, these routines. This is the thing. I've got my whole schedule. I'm on autopilot almost.
Yeah.
Right?
it's a routine, and it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
It can be very dangerous because I'm just sitting back doing what I've done before, and there's been no spiritual progress. People need to grow. We need to grow as believers. Churches need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teenagers need to grow. Adults need to grow. We need to grow in our input into the city of Baltimore. We need to grow in working and doing the things of God on the mission field mm-hmm. around the world. And, you know, we can't say, well, we're in 75 or 80 countries. That's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No. If we don't have a goal of 100 countries in the next few years, then I don't know what our goal should be.
That's a great goal.
100 countries.
I like the marriage you made there between success and progress.
Yeah.
Because sometimes success can be of what I've done and what I've achieved. And like you said, I get sleepy, I get lazy, I get slow, and I don't go forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put the word progress into my success, now there's levels of maturity. Now there's levels of growth. Now there's a movement.
Yeah.
Because the will of God is not stagnant. There's a movement. There's a movement.
Caleb, you've had such a successful life. He's 85 years old. He says, give me this mountain. Hmm. Like, he's going forward. He's making progress.
Yeah.
He's not saying, like, my age is going to determine what I'm doing. And that's important, and not that, you know, I don't want to just speak to that, but it's important for me as a believer to say, where is God leading me?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't want to be led by myself, because I might determine what I think is successful, and it's not from God.
Okay.
And I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, God himself, to be in the place where God sees this as successful and fruitful. And fruitful, not what I think is successful and fruitful. By the way, and that's why the Bible says those who compare with themselves with others are not wise.
Yes,
among themselves. Why? Oh well, I'm doing more than he's doing.
Yeah,
you know, I'm doing more than that person's doing. They're doing, you know, and this gets into this comparison thing, and then we begin to evaluate success based upon comparison.
Yeah.
You know, I could be doing something twice as much as somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and yet I'm backslidden because I should be doing three times as much. You know, I mean, in all reality, it's God who knows really where we are at in the gifts that we have and the abilities that we have, and that's very important. So what we might think is successful, we have no idea. And that's why we do not evaluate people. We don't judge people
mm-hmm.
because we have no idea. We could be seeing them and thinking that they're very successful in their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God is saying, there's so much more that I really have for them
mm-hmm.
and I had available for them, but they said no to it.
Yeah.
It could be that too, you know.
It could be the other way around. There's someone that looks like they're not very effective. They're not very useful.
And they are.
And they're extremely used by God.
Yeah.
You just cannot measure. We're not built to measure. We're built to discern. These things are spiritually discerned. I spiritually discern in 1 Corinthians 2:14 the will of God. I spiritually discern what God's perspective is, what is success, and my conditions in my past and my finances and my geography. These are not measurements of success for the Christian.
Don't you think also, too, it's important? People get so occupied with other people. Like, you know, just like walk with God yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, walk with God and make the decisions as the Spirit leads you, as the Word of God guides you. And you make decisions. I don't know, you know, where a person should be or what they're doing or what's taking place. Of course, we know when they're in sin and they're backslidden. I'm not saying that. But as far as me looking at another believer who's in the church, and they're in church, they're walking with God, for me to say that they are not really going forward with God and they're really not successful, I can't say that. I cannot say that. I can only take a look at my own life. And by the way, when the Spirit does that, he doesn't bring guilt.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit is known as the comforter, the encourager,
yes.
the strengthener. So when the Spirit convicts, if it's guilty, it's self-accusation,
mm-hmm.
right? It's satanic accusation. It's self-analysis, and it's the world's evaluation, the three enemies of the believer. So if it's God, there's a comfort to the encouragement.
Yes.
There's a comfort. There's a conviction that comes with comfort and encouragement, helping me to go on and make the next step.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important that you put that the right way, because you could hear today's message, for instance, this conversation, and you could decide that there's something wrong with my life.
Yeah.
Or you could sit there and say, there's something wrong with the guy's life that I know. And you start evaluating their life based on your standard of what success is.
Yes.
And the only standard is the mind of God. The only standard is the divine viewpoint of God.
I mean, think about it. John the Baptist had a 9-month ministry.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Well, he didn't do it very well, did he?
And he lost his head.
He wasn't around much.
Yeah.
He wasn't around much, you know? And all he did was say, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world."
Mm.
He had one message. That was it. Of course, he said things about holiness or whatnot. But 9-month ministry?
Yeah.
What would you say to that? You say that wasn't very successful, you know? But this one went 9 months. This one was crucified after 3 years. And then this one ended up in jail in 2 Timothy 4. And this one went to prison in Rome. I mean, it's like, read the Bible. Oh, Joseph. Yeah, Joseph was successful, fruitful. I like the word better. But when he was sold into Egypt, it didn't look like things were going too well for him. And you would you have said that, wow, what a tragedy. No, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a success that God allowed the brothers to sell him so he would become right under Pharaoh in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and that he would be able to minister to people, and he would be able to help people and bring his entire family and nurture all of them in Egypt until they came out 3 million.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's what you call that. He goes in as one and comes out. That's a pretty good mission program. He goes down as one and comes out as 2.5-3 million.
Church planning 101.
Yeah, there you go. Right from Joseph, right? Success.
I want to go back to that 1 John 2. I want to read verses 15, 16, and 17 as we get ready to close the program out. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abides forever.
Yeah, and it's important too. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about the Swiss Alps. You know, we're not talking about the ocean. The world, the cosmos, is, this is how you define the world. That which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. That's the world. It's alien. It has nothing to do with God's life, and it opposes it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, don't love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean you can't love a hamburger. You know, you can't love the mountains or traveling, whatever. People have this wrong definition of the world.
Yep.
But the world is that which is opposing God and is alien from God's life. And so if you have worldly desires, remember this verse, 2 Timothy 4:11, Demas has forsaken me, having agape this present world.
Yep.
He loved the present world. He thought success was what the world would offer.
Yes.
And he forsook Paul. He forsook God, and he forsook Paul. And see, this is the key. Was he successful? No, he was not.
Mm-hmm.
Not in God's eyes. He wasn't successful. Was Paul successful? Yes. In prison and eventually beheaded? That's a success story. Yes.
Wow.
The people don't like that. Do you want that kind of success? Do you want people to reject you? That could be what God's success brings.
Yeah. There's this James 4:4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. It's this whole thing where if I'm going to look for the success of the world, I will not find the success with God. And if I go for the success for God, it's very likely that I will not be successful in the world. It's very likely.
Right. So we define success as Jesus Christ his life.
I love that.
And his work.
That definition.
That's the definition.
Right there.
How you want to define it some other way?
Galatians 2:9 is perfect.
You want something else out there? You want to have something else out there? You want to define it some other way according to your worldly thinking or carnal frailty? No. Success is Jesus Christ and the finished work. That's success. And you find that in the church and in the gospel. So you have Jesus Christ and the finished work of the church, and I mean the spiritual church of God that also is physical, and then the gospel.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this week for Grace Hour. We are a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Feel free to stop by and join us for church Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to see you. And Wednesdays at 7 p.m., come on by and see us. God bless you and have a great day.